And I'm calling to order the regular meeting of the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission, Wednesday, June 11th, 2025. And I'm going to appoint Tom Crockett for Jeremy Flick and Kawan Gordon for Steve Clark. Were there any comments on the minutes?
Make the motion to accept the minutes as written.
Second.
Motion Tom Crockett, second Kawan Gordon. You see, Marilee is still scanning them.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. And the chair
Jim
votes aye.
Cropley,
That's
I abstain.
and Jim Cropley abstains. So that's 5-0-1. We do not appear to have any residents either in the room or online. So we'll go to staff reports.
I guess I can start. We have been working with two properties to send them to CROG for review for housing and seeing if they will accept one of them at least for a substantial site analysis. The two properties are the Cider Mill property on the corner of Cider Mill and Boston Turnpike. I think the address is actually 98 New Bolton Road for that piece. And then the other piece is the drive-in property, which is the old drive-in down near behind the commuter parking lot. CROG in their housing area is going to be reviewing several sites. They're particularly, we're looking for sites that didn't necessarily have sewer. So both of those sites fit at this point. And they're 20-acre pieces. Both of the owners have agreed to let CROG do some analysis if they're chosen. So we'll see what happens there. I put those in. I think the deadline is June 18th. So we should hear something after then.
I have a question about that. So CROG is looking at these properties for the purpose of what? For mo for
For
density?
housing and a site assessment for housing, higher
Okay.
density housing, and
Higher
would they
density.
be, yeah, would they be suitable? It's called a housing suitability analysis for potential
Okay,
housing
thank you.
development sites.
Okay.
Patrice, do we have a definition of what minimum high density housing would be per acre?
No.
No.
Nope. They're gonna just look at if the site is chosen, they will review the site and analyze the site for zone for multifamily housing on the site, feasibility of the site for development based on site conditions. Are there wetlands? Are there any other utilities available? They're going to do an initial pro forma for the site and a potential housing use, an assessment of what potential realistic changes could be made to make the project viable, including changes to zoning regs if necessary, land value discussion, tax abatements, or infrastructure investments. And then they plan to put out visualizations and renderings to show what developments on the sites that are chosen could look like. So they're doing a pretty full analysis that would
So
be
this
a
is really
viable.
good. This is really good because whether or not these developers go through with their projects, it still gives us a good handle as to whether or not these are going to be something that we can look to in the future for possible sites, right?
Well, it would
We'll either
also give
know
you an
yes or
idea of
no.
It would also give you an idea of what things might need to be changed to accommodate it as well. So yes.
Okay.
And again, I'm going to emphasize that, you know, there's 30 something towns in the CROG region, and everybody gets to submit a site if they want. So not that everybody has a site, but everybody gets the opportunity. So keeping my fingers crossed that at least one of them will get chosen.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens.
Good. It's interesting too, because they're really right next to each other. So depending, even if they choose one, it will give us an idea about the second one too.
Yeah, and they're pretty similar in topography and geography. I think the drive-in property is a little flatter, but they're both sand and gravel. They're both high water well areas. So, I mean, yeah, they are even similar in that regard. The property at Cider Mill obviously has a lot more frontage and visibility than the drive-in mm-hmm. property, but I know some of you have been following the housing bill that is sitting on the governor's desk. And just so in case you haven't heard, both CCM and Cost have requested he veto the bill. He is considering several different things, vetoing it outright, sending it back to a special session, approving it with some kind of conditions. So we'll see what happens. He has about 14 or 15 days left to make some sort of decision on that. So we've been following. Yeah.
So on the two sites that they're reviewing, so if they select, say, the Cider Mill and they do all that, what is the next step after that?
Well, I think it does a couple things. I think it presents the owner with a viable project that he could then go out and talk to developers about, something that neither site really has right now. Both sites have a rendering of what they'd like to see there, but the rendering isn't necessarily viable from the utility standpoint and those kind of things. So I think that this solves, or at least addresses some of those issues. It'll be interesting if that happens and then you don't get a developer. And then the next question is, why not? Because both of those sites are easy access to the highway. The other one is easy access to the greenway. You know, they're pretty suitable for housing.
Right. Oh yeah. I would think it would be phenomenal. I mean, Okay.
I had a question lined up.
Sure.
Before Natalie, was someone speaking? I think there's a restriction at the amount of units that could be built at the drive-in theater. Have you heard that? I thought there was
This would be to determine it, no?
This is when they connected the highway there they put the sewer in. I thought there might be a restriction there. Bob Moore mentioned to me a couple times, not recently, that was could be limited at the amount of units they have.
Well, these would be the people, I think, that would give us guidance as to what would
They don't know about the restriction if they don't.
Well, the state place the restriction on it because of the highway?
I think it was an arrangement made between the town and the state, because when the sewer got put in, Bolton wasn't real pro-growth at that time, and I think they limited that. Bob Moore knows all about it. And I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. So if they say they could put 10 units per acre on 25 acres, say, and say 250 units, I don't know that's necessarily true. So I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
I thought the limitations were set by what the land perked out for. The EDUs that Manchester's willing to accept would be whatever the land itself perked out for. So say you had, I don't know how many acres are there, but say you could get
25, 22, 25.
Yeah, so say you could get, what's a fair number? Just thrown out there, 25 houses. if you had them on a septic, then the state didn't want you putting in, or the sewer company didn't want you putting in 125, because they didn't want to take everybody's, they didn't have the capacity to take everybody's gray water and sewer. And that was what I thought restricted any of the development along the
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I just think there's something there that if they just looked at the site and looked at the math and the construction costs, there might be some deed restriction that's overriding everything, but
I think it's sewer.
I'm not sure.
It is the sewer. It's based on however many EDUs the sewer WPCA is willing to give. So it begs the question. I know that if you're on the sewer line that you're supposed to connect, and it's based on how many units you can get served with septic. But I'm just wondering if there will be, once the sewer issue is the loan paid off or whatever it is, I'm wondering if they would entertain housing on something that's not on sewer, that it would be on septic. The
Maybe,
couple
and
times.
maybe new technologies in septic make the whole way of looking at that slightly different.
Could be,
Possible.
right.
Have a restriction.
Do you want to
It's a
put do you want
property.
to put septic systems in there when it's a stratified drift aquifer?
Probably not, Tom. Probably not.
Probably
Yeah.
not.
But
Well, that would be, is that for both sites? Yeah. It's all part of
yeah,
the
I mean, it's actually probably worse on the cider mill site. That's the aquifer protection area in there.
Right.
That doesn't actually flow over, and the aquifer protection area doesn't even actually go over into the drive-in property.
Oh.
So you have two environments that are separate for that.
Right. And they'll look at all that, and
Yeah.
they'll be informed, or look at the septic versus the sewer and the restrictions and all of that as well. So my guess is there'll be some recommendation if they were to take this property. And I keep talking about it. We don't know if they're going to do this, but
Yeah.
my guess is one of their analysis points might be to ch somehow change the requirements for the sewer so that the sewer could be used,
Right.
whatever that
Right.
might be.
Patrice, could they actually do a combination? Could they? Because I know when the developer came in for the drive-in site years ago, the issue was that they couldn't get enough houses in there with septic to make it worth their while. Could they go in and say I'm just saying, they're going to build 50 units. Could they put 25 on sewer and 25 in septic or?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, Jim.
Well, I think it's very interesting because these are the two, in my mind, most obvious places to look at. I mean, you chose wisely as to say these two places kind of thing. And as a result, there's been a lot of guessing. What if, what if, what if? But if they do take us, this will give us answers.
Unfortunately, they are our two largest business opportunities. So,
Well, not necessarily. Cider mill is the drive-in property zone residential.
is it? I thought it was
Yep.
in
No, it's R2.
Oh.
I take that back, Arlene. You might be right. There might be GMUIZ on it. The problem with it, though, as a commercial piece, is this: it's hidden. You have no street view. It's behind a parking lot and everything else back there. I mean, it's actually much better suited for housing than it would be commercial. You'd have, people who do commercial development want site to be right, to be able to see right from the road.
And it's kind of unique because although the highway is like boom right there, it does have this hidden quality that it gives the residents some privacy.
I think we ought to call Amazon.
No, thanks,
Stop.
Jim.
Might be right turn around and get out of there, though. Anybody
The
going to do left turn right?
other thing I know is we talked about last meeting. We had the one of the applicants had a 50-foot from the lake application. We talked about another one that was an existing foundation, and the Planning and Zoning Commission said that as long as they're not expanding that, that's okay without coming back to you. Believe it or not, we have a third one and they're all on the same street. So we don't have it tonight. It'll be, if it goes through wetlands and they get approval there, then it will come to you in July.
And they're all those little lots.
Yep.
Okay.
That's all I have for right now.
What about Mike?
The only thing that I was going to mention, maybe Patrice didn't mention it on purpose, so I'd have something interesting to talk about. CROD is, like all regional agencies, was given some money from the state, I think through ARPA, to work with all of their towns to standardize the parcel layer that is used in the regional GIS, but also we communicate that information to the state annually through the assessor's office. So Patrice and I have been working with the point person at CROG and the vendor to kind of get that project teed up. And so they will be going through and doing an analysis of the current parcel map and making sure and bringing it up to date so that all the parcel lines match and everything is current. Our best estimate is that the last time the townwide parcel data was really analyzed on a comprehensive scale is probably 2016. So if you happen to be one of the people that uses the regional GIS and you've noticed that parcel lines don't match, that's why. So we expect to get that kicked off next week. And I don't know what the timeline will be, but we'll have an up-to-date set of parcels for public consumption, I assume, by the end of the year.
Part of the plan would to hopefully be then, once they do all that work, to continue on with a maintenance contract if we can, so that the parcels stay updated. They're updated, what would it be, Mike, weekly, nightly, monthly, whatever it is, to match the assessor's records. And then there'd also be an updated tax map. I don't know if anybody's gone into the office to look at the tax maps lately, but since 2016, all the new lines and everything have all been hand drawn in. So there is no actual, the actual original plan that's sitting down there that has the hand-drawn lines is it. That's all there is. So it'd be nice to have that digitized for a lot of reasons, but I know the budget constraints and what's happened over the last couple of weeks. So we'll see what happens. I don't think it's a heavy lift. I think Mike was getting a price under maybe $5,000 a year or something like that, that maybe the assessor's office and the building office could split something like that to keep the parcels up to date. Cause it is, we've noticed it when somebody comes in and they want to look at a piece and we pull it up on the map and they say, oh yeah, no, that's not what it looks like. It looks like something else. And we've seen that happen a couple times. So it would be nice if it were a little more usable.
I have a question for Mike. Did Dollar General ever correct their dead plants?
So we went out and took a look when they made their bond release request. And we said, based on the time of year that they made the request, that we weren't going to do an analysis of what, if it could be released, because it was hard to tell what was dormant and what might have died. And so we basically said we want to give it another growing season and come back and request it again. And they have not yet come back to request a release. So we're still holding that bond.
Okay. It's just a weed mess back there. So even if they do plant something back there, you're never going to see it.
Technically, Jim, it should already be planted and hopefully growing.
Yeah. I think the shrubs that were the trees that were planted, I think there was quite a few that died, but the growth is just, on its own, is just taken over the whole side because they don't maintain that side.
No.
I was just wondering, I went by the other day and I saw it and said, boy, if they're going to plant trees in there, they missed the opportunity.
We had some feedback from residents on that street there that runs parallel to that building when it went up, because they're elevated, and so from some of their windows they can see sort of into the lighting that is on the building and in the site, and they found it very disruptive. So I think that, you know, even if someone planted running bamboo over there, they'd probably be happy, because anything that creates more of a physical barrier, they'd be pleased on. But my guess is that they realized that if we did a bond release inspection, we would tell them it doesn't comply, which is why we haven't heard from them, because they were pushing on it pretty hard last time. And I'm guessing the developer went and looked and realized it's not how it's supposed to be, and so they haven't made the request.
No, it's filled in. I mean, you can't, I mean, if I were the neighbor, I mean, other than it's weed, so in the wintertime, you're still going to see that stuff, and they had planted evergreens in there. But I was just wondering, when I went by the other day and I looked, I'm saying, like, oh my gosh, it's pretty bad. That's it.
Okay, we have Andrew Lodiga here in the audience. Did you have anything you wanted to say? Nothing. Okay. Thought I'd give you the chance. Any old business? I don't see anything listed. Anything, any new business other than what we've discussed?
Nope.
Okay. Ongoing discussion, Bolton subdivision and zoning regulations. I looked through the CROG staff analysis of House Bill 5002, and I went through the list and looked at things that were that might apply to us that we would have to address if it gets signed. There's something called a priority affordable housing plan, and when you submit it, you get a priority for funding. And not every town is required to do one, but Bolton is one of those that does. So we need to think about how that's going to get done, and talk about that with the selectmen.
Is required to have a plan?
Bolton is required to have a plan.
Okay.
Not all the towns in CROG do, but Bolton does.
Tom, how did we get so lucky? How did we get picked as somebody else?
I think the criteria are how much affordable housing you have already.
And since we have none, we're mandated.
Since we have very little, and what we do have that's affordable doesn't meet the statutory definition.
Right.
Yeah. and that's item six. For item seven in the list, that housing plan requires an inventory of vacant and developable land that would have to be part of it.
Tom, I read some of that. So does it say that some of the zoning regulations can be changed to establish this?
It would be just like the affordable housing plan that we already have as part of the plan of conservation and development, and zoning changes would be made based on the plan of conservation and development. That's the idea.
Automatic zoning change.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, there was one automatic zoning change, which I did not list here because it was something that in a way we had previously discussed, and we hadn't rejected it, but And that was the idea that in residential zones, we could have duplexes on a single lot. That was what we discussed. But what this legislation is forcing, and I regard it as a poison pill, because we had also discussed what they talked about, is that you were required to accept up to 12 units, up to a 12 unit development in a business zone. And one of the things that we had talked about, because I had raised the point, well, you know, should we allow housing in a business zone? And staff's response was, well, those are the zones we want to develop business in.
Right.
So it's not that having that requirement in our regulations
right.
would mean that anyone would come and do it, because there's other things that would stop it. But it's a yes, that is a mandate of
this automatic, maybe.
And that's not just for Bolton, that's
they won't, they won't be going to ZBA or here, that's
no,
for sure.
No, yeah.
Just as a side, the way things are going, I talked to a lawyer today who went to housing court for an eviction, and the judge ruled that non-payment of rent is not a reason to evict somebody. So if you wonder where we're headed in zoning and housing, you don't have to go any further than that.
Well, that was what
rent to a tenant for maybe forever. That's what some of these people are thinking. And by the way, I did sign a petition for the link that Patrice sent us for the zoning. Takes all about 10 seconds. I even gave him $3, a big spender. But anyways, yeah, I mean, it's just scary. I know it's a real problem, but some of the stuff just—it's mind-blowing.
Well, you know, and they're not—it's not handing you out any money to do any of this. This is all on you. So you guys gotta, you know, provide the utilities. You guys gotta do this and that. And there's no—it's just more unfunded mandates and
it's not going to build any housing either.
It's probably not going to build any housing.
Hey Jim, do you actually have the do you recall or were you told the docket name for that case?
For Tom Crockett, Kwan, did you mean?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Tom. Sorry.
Yeah. Do you have the name of the case? Do you have the docket case, or the name of the case, or the?
Oh, on the eviction.
Yeah.
Oh no, I just talked to an attorney today. He told me that. Had nothing to do with me. We were just shooting a breeze.
Some of the other items that I thought we might take advantage of is there's an opt-in to transit-oriented development. But in order to do that, you'd have to meet certain density requirements.
You'd also have to have transit.
Well,
we do.
We do.
We do. Where?
We do. Right there at the drive-in. That is a regular bus stop for Connecticut, the big buses. And I think a green one stops there too. One of the expresses.
Oh yeah, fast track. Connecticut,
yeah,
fast track.
I think they both stop there. They have a regular schedule at that green parking lot. Which makes another plus for the whole idea of it being more dense housing, because they can get public transportation.
And there's also an opportunity for CROG. It would have to be CROG-led, but it's OPM-funded transit improvements. And there's also items 37 through 39. It's a priority housing development zone. We already have a incentive housing zone that we had put in for the incentive housing zone overlay that we had put in for the last time that the state was offering money to do this. And then they And that was in 2008 when everything fell apart. And so we've got the overlay zone in the regulations, but it's never been implemented because there was no money available.
That was the overlay zone, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, was a mixed use kind of zone though. You had to have business and housing, right? As when it was mainly along Route 6, which is where we were looking at it.
Yeah, we had the requirement for the mixed commercial and housing, but I think that the IHZ was separate.
Okay.
And then if you do both the priority affordable housing plan and the transit oriented complexes, you get a priority for infrastructure funding, which we might go after correcting the intersection of 6 and 44. But since everything seems to have slowed down right now, there's no point in jumping on it.
No, but it's good to have looked and see if any of this, you know, sticks.
And I think that Bolton would be a good candidate for funding because other towns and even Andover has some elderly housing. Coventry does. We have nothing. We've never gotten anything. So I think this would be I think that we'd be really good candidates for this. That was what I had.
As staff, I don't really have much to add to what you have mentioned there. And again, until the bill is signed or changed or whatever, or goes to special session and we can follow it there too. I don't know. I know there's a planners meeting on Friday. I know they were going to talk about some of this, but I'm not sure how much they're going to cover with the bill kind of being in limbo, if you will.
Is there anything else anyone wants to discuss about Bolton subdivision and planning and zoning regulations? Subdivision and zoning regulations.
All right, one thing.
Okay.
I stopped at the new convenience store gas station down on Route 44, Route 6 going to Andover, and Dunkin' Donuts is definitely going in there because they're not even selling coffee there because their agreement with Dunkin' Donuts is that they will keep the whole donut business to them. So Dunkin' Donuts is coming. Unfortunately, I made a stupid mistake. I tried to take a left turn out there at 3 o'clock and, and minutes later, it took a left turn where I could take in a right turn and got home.
In my mind, coffee and donuts is a morning thing. So people going into Hartford are going to have a tough way to
get on the side of the street.
They are, you know, you know, it's fine for people coming home, but
I'll tell you, it'd be worse 4 times as much on the other side of the street just based on my trying to take a left turn at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Anytime. But I mean, in the morning, you can't even, there's no chance. There is no
chance.
People
are working remotely too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that get approved for a Dunkin' Donuts?
It is set up for Dunkin' Donuts. When they go to install it at some point in the future, they will need building permits, I believe, Mike. Okay. I don't know if they need to go as far as any further zoning, because we've already kind of looked at it for that use. They've got the drive through already.
The only thing I can say is that these stores do, you know, the chains do an incredible amount of research, so there must be enough money in it for them to
unless they came out on a Sunday morning.
I think they are pretty sophisticated. Yeah. I have a question. Have we heard from Thad yet?
Thad King.
Yeah. You're going to send him that data about septic systems?
Oh.
You didn't do that?
No.
Apparently, we have something continuing till the next meeting.
Sounds like a family affair.
No. I saw something very interesting that may be a game changer. I don't know. It's just out there. I saw it being utilized on one of those televised home improvement things that I find rather respectable. It was this old house, and it is a one house, single family home, septic system that really takes up less space, less energy, and can accommodate homes on difficult sites, which sort of describes Bolton. And if that is something that is economically feasible, then that is something that we should be looking at when determining.
Well, one of the things I looked at, it's already been accepted by DEEP.
Yes, it's, I think it's
So it's not, 'cause, and they're very picky about their technologies.
and not only that, it seems to me that the main company is located in Saybrook. So, if they've come up with a better mousetrap, we should give it a look, I think.
Patrice, I'll send it all to you so that everybody can look at it.
Okay, that'd be great.
I would be barely head of a subcommittee on it.
My mind is always in the sewer, I tell you, it is true.
Anything else? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion, Tom Crockett.
Second, Jim Crapley.
Second, Jim Crapley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Okay, unanimous. Thank you all very much, and we will.
Is it 8:09? Is that what time we have?
8:07.
Oh my
Eight oh
goodness.
seven.
Yeah, I have
Okay.
8:07.
All right.